In our series, Emotions for Better or Worse, and this session is entitled, Think of Yourself with Sober Judgment, Romans 12:3. I think this area of self-esteem, self-image, self-acceptance is many times misunderstood by us as Christians because we don't know what self is referring to here. Anytime we hear the word self, we get anxious, don't we? Because we think of the sin nature. We think of the flesh. And anytime we hear anything with self in it, immediately we shy away and say, I can't have anything to do with that. Self-esteem is pride. Self-acceptance is pride. We need to see, ladies, that when we talk, or people talk about it, at least what I talk about, self-acceptance, self-image, self-esteem, this self here is the sole area of the personality. This unique you that you are. This unique person that you are. Remember we said the soul is basically the personality with what? Its elements of the mind, the will, and the emotions. And remember we said that God made us body, soul, and spirit. And when a child is born, excuse me, into a home, the parent is to meet first the physical needs, his hunger for food. The parents are then to meet the soul needs, the personality needs, which we've said are to be assured, to be safe, to be protected, to be secure. When that need is met, then the child becomes ready for loving relationships. The next need of the personality, which is the one we're going to talk about today, and that is acceptance. This need to be loved as I am, not if I am. I don't have to qualify for love in any way. I don't have to do anything to get my parents' acceptance. And the parents are the only source at this time from which a child gets his sense of being somebody special, of value or of worth. We said when that need is met, then the child is free and going to the next area, which I call aim and adequacy. This area that the child, there's a reason for living, there's responsibility for him, there's something to do, and I can do it. It's this area that God promises to meet later on of meaning and purpose to life, and he'll enable us to do whatever he calls us to do. Then, if these needs are met in the personality of assurance, of acceptance, of aim and adequacy, the personality then becomes basically healthy, authentic, I call it. The real you. Not artificial, no mask, but just free to be. Not trying to get these needs of the personality met all through your life, but because they already are. You see the difference? If any of these needs of the personality to be assured, to be accepted, to have meaning and purpose to life, aim and adequacy, and to be authentic. If these needs aren't met, then that child is going to go through life trying to get whichever need was not met, met. And so as parents, if we meet them, then the child basically is going to have a authentic personality. Not living his life to get unmet needs met, but living his life because he already has them met. And he's just free to become and to be whatever God has for him to be. And then we said after the parents meet the physical needs, we said, the parents meet the soul needs, the personality needs. And remember we said a child can be just as hungry for assurance, for acceptance, for aim and adequacy as he can for food. And if these needs aren't met, the child's going to become unhealthy in the personality just like he can become unhealthy physically if those needs aren't met. Then the parent meets the soul needs. And then we said what? The parent is to introduce the child to what? The Heavenly Father. Through Jesus Christ, through faith in Jesus Christ. So that the parent meets initially the physical needs, the soul needs, the spiritual needs by example and precept to point us to the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. And the Heavenly Father says what then? You were made by me and for me. I'm the intended source of life in each of these areas. Now you're back where you were intended to be for me to meet all your needs in all these areas. Remember, physically, soul, and spiritually. And last week we went over how God promises to meet the physical needs, and also we went over the first need in the personality, which was what? Assurance. And how God promises as his children to meet this need of the personality when it's been unmet with his security, with his safety, with his protection, with his stability, with his order. So today what we want to look at then is the second basic need of the personality, which is for self-acceptance, self-esteem. Am I making myself clear on what this self is? It's the personality. And it has needs that have to be met to be healthy. You see, ladies, before you and I came to know Jesus Christ, after childhood, the sin nature, we said what? controlled the soul controlled the body. Well, you see, when you're growing up, this personality can be healthy or unhealthy. So you've got a sin nature controlling a healthy or unhealthy personality depending on whether the needs were met or not. You come to know Jesus Christ, and then what happens? We said the initially the Spirit is made new. The Holy Spirit comes into our spirit, and then the Spirit initially is operating through what? A healthy or a unhealthy excuse me, personality, you see. And that's why some of us as Christians are going around saying, why is so-and-so coping better with the world than I am? How can a non-Christian cope better with everyday life than me as a Christian? Ever thought that? It's really not fair. Well, you see, we as Christians, lady, may have the Holy Spirit in our lives, and until we get the insight, He's operating in and through what? Either a healthy personality or an unhealthy personality. But what does He say I want to do? My purpose when I come in is to what? To restore the whole soul area. To renew this mind that's been programmed by the sin nature, that's been programmed by these unmet needs of childhood, or from any physical problems that they may have been there. So is that where we're going from, self-esteem? Is that helpful? That we don't have to be afraid of the term? Because it's talking about the personality acceptance that's needed for us to function the way God wants us to function, which we'll see today. Psalm 8. What is man? Now, probably the most important question, not probably, it is, the most important question you and I will ever ask ourselves, ladies, is Matthew 22:42, what think ye of Christ? That's the most important question anybody will ever ask in their lives. But as Christians, when you and I have received Jesus Christ into our lives, probably the second most important question that we need to ask ourselves is, what is man? Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Psalm 8. Psalm 8 says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. This is us. You made him, that's you and I here, a little lower than the heavenly beings. That's saying God initially made us a little lower, translated, than God. And crowned him, ladies, when God made us, we were crowned. I looked up that Greek. Crowned means, crowned is given to a person because of his exalted rank or position. God says, when I made you initially, you were my pride and joy. You were crowned because of your exalted position that I gave you initially. I made you a little lower than God. I gave you dominion. Let's go on. Crowned him. Not just crowned him, but he crowned him also with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet. God made man master of the earth, so to speak. Dominion over. He was sovereign over the earth. All flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Now turn to Hebrews 2:5-9. So what do we see from this? From Genesis in 1:31, we see man was created by God. Not we ourselves, Psalm 100 verse 3 says. We see, ladies, in the beginning that man is the climax of creation, the creature for which everything else was created. Because man was created by God, though, he has a personal dependence on God and on a responsibility to God. You see, initially, ladies, man was made to be dependent on, in subjection to, in obedience to, and dependence on God. We were made to be dependent. We were made to be kept. We were made to be obedient. We were made to be in response to Him. So we see, we see that man was created by God. We see that he was also created in God's image. Now, what does that mean? As I understand it, when we were created in God's image, in the area of the soul, which, you see, God has personality,
He has a mind, he has a will, he has an emotion. So we had personality. We're a unique person, just like God is a person. We also see that we have a spirit. God is a spirit. They that worship him in spirit and in truth. So we were made in God's image in this area of the soul, personality, and a spiritual being to begin with. He said that we were made a little lower than God. This implies that man has personality like God, with a mind, will, and emotions, and that man is basically a spiritual being. We see, okay, man created God, man was created by God, he was created in God's image, he was created for God's glory. You see, when God made us, ladies, the Holy Spirit was in our spirit, the spirit controlled the soul, which was healthy, the soul controlled the body, and God was living in and through us, wasn't he, initially. And we were made to bring forth God's glory. He says, I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him, Isaiah 43:7 says. Man was created as a ruler, we see from here. He was crowned and gave dominion. Wow. You see, ladies, in the beginning, Adam and Eve didn't have an inferiority complex, okay? They didn't have a self-esteem problem. They didn't have to worry about this. They didn't have to worry about being of no value, no purpose, or somebody special. They knew they were. God had made them. He said he had made it. Behold, it was very good. He approved it completely. Genesis 2:25, he says, the man and his wife were both naked and were not embarrassed or ashamed in each other's presence. In other words, man to begin with was what? Totally authentic, which is God living in through him. Well, what happened? Let's look at Hebrews 2, verse 5. This is where it says Jesus is made like his brothers. It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking, but there is a place where someone has testified. This is referring back to Psalm 8. What is man that you are mindful of him? This is what David is saying. After the way you made man with what you had for him, and then man sinned, you know, what is man that you are mindful of him with what man's done and is doing? The son of man that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the angels. That's us. Crown him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. In putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to him. Now, this is still talking about us, ladies. In the beginning, he put everything under him. God left nothing that was not subject to man in the beginning. Yet today, we don't see everything subject to him. What has happened? Man sinned. That's what happened, didn't he? Man sinned, he lost in Genesis 3, he lost his throne, he lost his crown. Let's go on to read this. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. You see, God the Father created you and out of rain, ladies. God the Son says, I've redeemed you to rain. Because of me, you can be restored to where you were. No wonder with what man's done, ladies, after the sin of man, that David was shocked and amazed that God would be mindful of you and I. Why would God pay any attention to us, the sinful man, when we're going our own way and don't care, don't want any part of him, the way we disobey God, the way we've robbed him of glory? But is there any hope? Hebrews 2 tells us. This is the hope, that the Son of God redeemed us to reign, so that we can be restored. Through Jesus Christ, we can again reign as kings. Romans, I love Romans 5:17. It says, for if by the trespass of the one man Adam, death reigned through that one man, listen, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Do you see, ladies, we see from Psalm 8 and from Genesis that God the Father created man to reign. Man sinned. He lost it. Jesus Christ then what? Redeemed us so that we may reign again. He redeemed us so that our place can be restored. I love that verse. Don't miss that. How much more will those reign in life through Jesus Christ? That's Romans 5:17. In Jesus Christ, our lost dominion has been restored, ladies. Isn't that exciting? Not only did the Father create us to reign, not only did God the Son redeem us to reign, but when you and I received Jesus Christ, ladies, and trusted him as our personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into my life. He says that He puts us into Christ and Christ into us. And then when we're put into Jesus Christ, when he died, we died. When he was buried, we were buried. When he arose, we arose. When he ascended, we ascended. He's seated right now at the right hand of the Father. And did you know what, ladies, positionally? That's where you and I are today. Colossians 2:10 says we are complete in him. Hebrews 10:10 through 14 says, today, as God sees you and I, we are perfected forever, positionally. Isn't that exciting? You see, I'm not having to become complete, ladies. Positionally in Jesus Christ, I am already complete. God sees me as complete. Hebrews 10 and 14 says, he sees us as perfected forever, those who are being made holy. Now, what is the deal here? Positionally in Jesus Christ, it says you are complete. You are whole. You are perfected forever. That's my position. What is my condition? In my Christian walk today here in Birmingham, Alabama, I have the divine nature in me, what? And the sinful nature in me. And daily I am to be the Word in the Word of God, appropriate the principles, put off the sin nature, what? Put on God's thoughts, God's principles, so that Christ is formed more and more in me, so that I become what? My condition becomes more and more like my position. You see, ladies, we aren't trying to become anything except who we already are. God says, God tells us to do it, he'll do it. Won't he? So when the Holy Spirit comes in our lives, ladies, the Holy Spirit says, I enable you to reign. God the Father created you to reign. God the Son redeemed you to reign. But the Holy Spirit, ladies, is the one that enables us in our lives to live like a queen, so to speak, and to reign in life. And in this area of self-esteem, I think the Christians, we particularly need to see this, because the Christian life, the whole Christian life, is simply becoming who you are and why you are in Jesus Christ. It's the position to practice. And we'll see this today. The greatest good you can do for yourself is to treat yourself according to your true value. God does. That's why he sent his Son. Let's see. Where do we want to start today? I want you to see the picture, though, before we even get started, that when Jesus Christ does come into our lives, ladies, he doesn't come into my life, Diane Lewis, to abolish my personality. To replace my personality. He doesn't come into my life to abolish my personality. He comes in to replace the sin nature operating in and through my personality. Does that make sense? You see, the personality, ladies, with the mind, will, and emotions, we said, is neutral. Remember? It is either controlled by the sin nature or what? The Holy Spirit in and through us. When you and I became a Christian, the vessel is the same. I still have the same physical body. I still have the same mind. I still have a will. And I still have a capacity to feel. Thank you very much. So when you and I went through death with Jesus Christ, buried with him, arose with him, ascended in him, and are seated at the right hand of the Father with him, our basic identity didn't change. By that I mean, when you and I received Jesus Christ, we were still walking around with the same physical frame, didn't we? Same basic personality type, right? Same mental capacity, so to speak. So the vessel is the same after rebirth. It's not changed through our death and resurrection with Jesus Christ. The vessel is the same, the faculties are the same, the frame is the same, but what's changed? The contents. The contents has totally changed. We now, you see, the Holy Spirit, ladies, is seeking to restore us as human personalities, to restore ourselves, so that we may be the vehicle through which Christ will express himself. Do you see what he wants? He comes into your life and mine not to abolish the personality, but to what? To restore it. So that it can be the personality, the vehicle through which God wants to express himself to the world. Therefore, you find that whenever God gets hold of a man, instead of abolishing his personality, what does he do? He makes it what it was intended to be. Isn't that exciting? Okay, lesson today. Let's see. In the 1 Corinthians 13:11, remember it says, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I grew up or became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now, I want us to remember, ladies, in this area of the personality, we may have grown up physically, spiritually, and intellectually, but we may have never grown up in this area of the personality because its needs were unmet and may still be unmet. Is that clear? To grow up in this area, we must see these unmet needs, which are probably unconscious, and let the Lord meet them so that our personality can become healthy. I want to have the personality free and whole that God wants it to be, because the soul is what He lives in and through, isn't it? To express Himself to all those around us. Okay, let's look at today's. We see that we are supposed to... Did I not put those scriptures on here? Oh, yes, here it is. Oh, first, let me back up. In John 13:3, Jesus says, and in John 8:14 and 16:28, Jesus Christ says, you want to know how to serve? You want to be free to serve? In John 13, where it talks about Jesus took up the towel, took up, you know, and washed the disciples' feet. Notice when you read that later what it says. Before Jesus took up the towel, it says, Jesus Christ knew who He was and why He was. Then He was free to serve. John 8:14 says the same thing. 16:28 says the same thing. So what we want to see today is, who are we? And then the next session, why are we? Because it's necessity, ladies, to be free, to be the servant of God that He wants us to be. Okay, the scripture says, Romans 12:3, that we are to, well, let me just read it. Romans 12:3, for through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think, you get a key in here? What could be the key? But to think so as to have a sound judgment as God has allotted to each measure of faith. God is in the first 12 chapters of Romans been telling who we are. This is who you are. You've been declared accepted. Find out who you are. And then in verse 12, he says, because you know who you are, now here's what you to do. And this is what he's talking about here when he says, don't think more highly of yourself than you should, but have a sober estimate of yourself. Know who you are in me. Know your value. Know your worth. And we're going to see what this means today. It also says, when God says have a sober estimate of yourself, He doesn't say don't think of yourself at all, ladies. Or He doesn't say don't think well of yourself. What does He say? Don't think more highly of yourself than you should. Have a sober estimate, a realistic estimate of who we are in Jesus Christ. He also says in Matthew 19:19 and a G in other places, love your neighbor as yourself. This love in the Greek, ladies, is agape. When it says love your neighbor unconditionally, as you love yourself unconditionally, with God's love. Because you see, it's clear, ladies, unless we experience God's love for us, love ourselves with that same love, we're not going to really be free then to love others. Some of us, if we loved our neighbors the way we loved ourselves, our neighbors would be in mortal danger. So what does God say? I want you, what does the scripture tell us? We love Him because what? He first loved us. How are we to love others? As He loved us. How are we to love us? As what? You love yourself. This is the agape love. You're to love yourself as you are, unconditionally, with His love. Okay? And I gave you some other scriptures there. A good book to read on this, works versus grace, is Galatians, when you have time. Read Galatians over about 6 times and get the insight you get from Galatians. Proverbs 18:14, Ephesians 5:28-29-33, Proverbs 17:22, Colossians 3:21, Ephesians 6:14, are just some scriptures to tell us that God wants us to know who we are. Okay then, how do we learn to love ourselves? How do we learn to experience that we are of worth, that we are of value? Where do we get our sense of being worthwhile or worthless? Where does it come from? Well, basically, ladies, this comes through the eyes of others and the way they treat us. Your sense of being worthwhile or worthless today, your sense of being of value or of worth, your sense of being somebody special, initially comes primarily from the parents, because they're really, at that time, the only source of value the kids have. So you can see that when a child's growing up, all he has to relate to is to what? The way others see him, through the eyes of others, and the way they treat us. There's no other way a child can perceive he's somebody special, of value, of worth, except through what? The eyes of others. Okay. Not all rejection, though, ladies, is by the parents, but also by peers, teachers, preachers, and so on. I know many of us in childhood may have experienced big-time rejection from peers. High school, maybe there was rejection. College, maybe there was rejection. Boyfriends, maybe there was rejection. I mean, parents are not the only source of rejection, but they are the initial primary source that can either make or break a child's sense of self-esteem, which is the sense of being somebody special, the sense of being of value, the sense of being of worth. And as we said, this usually is from a person's childhood. Now, let me say this one more time, lest I be misunderstood. We get this from parents, ladies, who had the same problem themselves, and that is rejection. They were not loved as they were. The more we get insight into our parents' background, if we have any at all, you don't feel ill toward them, you have compassion, because you really don't see how they functioned as well as they functioned because of unmet needs in this area. And you know, a lot of people grow up and they say, hey, I'm getting along with my parents better today than I ever have, because they see what? It was not a personal rejection for them. That's just the way they talk. That's just the way they acted. That's just the way they are. Totally unintentional. But we're looking into this, ladies, to see the reality of the situation. Not to blame, but for understanding why, so that we don't keep passing this on. I want to see these unmet needs in my life, lady. I want to let God meet them so that I can be aware of them in my children's and my husband's and my friends and in others, so that I can then feed those unmet needs. Don't you? So that what? We're not passing it on from generation to generation to generation. Not just the sin nature, which is passed on from generation to generation to generation, but also these unmet needs of the personality. We're passing on unhealthy personalities from generation to generation to generation. Did you know that it's as though when we're born, there's like a bucket on each arm, okay? It's as though I'm born with a bucket on this arm and a bucket on this arm. And the bucket on this arm has a plus sign, okay? That's where all the positive things that are said to me, the encouragement, the building up, the rah, 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 the assurance. Every positive is in this bucket. Okay, in this bucket, got a minus. Into this bucket goes the negatives. All the put downs, all the made fun of, all the criticism, all the negatives. Did you know what now, ladies, they say? That if you haven't had 4 positives to 1 negative, you're in trouble. That's why I say, ladies, all of us have problems in this area to varying degrees. Because none of us have been loved perfectly. And none of us, ladies, have loved perfectly. So this area of self-acceptance is important. We need to get a grip on it. Okay, let's see where we would like to start. Let's just look at it. On your sheet, under the area of personality growth, this next need in the area of the personality for acceptance, let's see what it says. This is the need to find out who I am. The need to be unconditionally loved as I am, not if I am. Because the child is special to his parents, he thinks and feels he is somebody special, of value, of worth, just for who he is. The need in this area is unmet if the parents are perfectionistic, performance-oriented, unpleasable, or a negative thinker. Who am I? Okay, let's look at this area of self-esteem. Let's see who we are. Let's get some insight into it. First of all, we'll do first the natural sonship produced by physical birth. This is when you and I are born physically to earthly parents. And let's see what happens. The parents meet this need. We said the child feels special. He feels somebody of value, of worth, although nobody's got that down perfect. Okay, now wonder if the child is unconditionally loved. That means he has to qualify for love. What are the qualifications? Think back in your background. If there was conditional love, what were the qualifications to be accepted? You see, if a child's not loved as they are with no qualifications, then chances are the child is going to feel he must qualify for acceptance. I am accepted if I am, not as I am. But how does a child find out what he has to be or to do to get accepted? We say they need qualifications for acceptance. But what are they? If you are what, can I get acceptance? Well, we see what it takes from parents to get their approval, doesn't it? To get their acceptance. What's important to the parents? What was important to my peers growing up? You look around at people and you say, what does it take to get their acceptance? And when this need has been unmet in your life in childhood, then you're going to do whatever it takes to get that need for acceptance met. And all of us may have different areas of qualification depending on our background, our parents, our peers, etc., etc. What happens is, ladies, if this need is not met in childhood by the parents to be loved as I am, do you know what we then do? We then go through life trying to get this need met by anybody and everybody around us, saying in effect, somebody please love me just for who I am. I don't have to qualify in some way. And you know what we do, ladies? It's as though we exchange two parents for the world. Not having received that unconditional love from parents, we exchange those two parents and we trade it for the world, and we give everybody in the world the power, so to speak, as a parent to say, you're worth or you're worthless. The book we were talking about yesterday, Caring Enough to Confront, by David Augsburger. He says in there, it's as though we give the gavel to everybody in our life. And they put down the gavel, whoops, whether they like us or don't like us, compliment us or criticize us or whatever. But when somebody says something good to us and it's nice to us, it's like they're saying, hey, you have worked. If they slam the gavel down and criticize us or put us down, it's as though they're saying, you're worthless. And so you know what we do? We respond to it, don't we? We let them have the gavel to our lives to say whether we're worthwhile or worthless. And because of this unmet need, ladies, we go through life trying to get it met. Husbands, friends, children, anybody. Just love me for who I am. Okay, let's see. What's on this sheet next? Okay. A child sees then what it takes from the background to get acceptance. Now, the child may see he has to come up with different things. I was teaching a class in Memphis, Tennessee, a ninth grade class. It was at a Christian school. And I was teaching this class, and I said, okay, gang, put down 10 times on a sheet of paper, I am. And I want you to write I am 10 times, and then I want you to go beside the I am and say what you think about yourself, what you really feel about yourself. I am pretty, I am ugly, I am short, I am tall, I am dumb, I am stupid, I am ignorant, I am. And I said, don't think it through, don't put out what you want to see yourself as. Be realistic, be honest. Then I asked them to go back and say, okay, how many positives did you get and how many negatives did you get? So they did it. I said, now, will somebody share with me how many positives they had about themselves? Or something positive about themselves? Nobody. I said, why won't you share? Well, if we share something positive about ourselves, people will think we're cocky. Okay, then let's share something negative. Give me some negatives. Nobody would share about the negatives. So, well, why aren't we sharing the negatives? Well, because if people know what we're really like and our weaknesses, they won't like us. It's true, isn't it? These aren't just ninth graders, lady, is it? I said, okay, let me ask you something. This is ninth graders. I said, okay, ninth graders, let me ask you something. Am I understanding you right? You all have basically said to me during this class period that to be a person of value, to be of worth, to be somebody special, there are qualifications that you have to meet to get this acceptance from others. Is that right? They said, that's right. I said, okay, what are they? One little girl raised her hand and she said, Miss Lewis, the qualification to be accepted is you got to be looking good. I said, really? She said, yeah. I said, what's your appearance? She said, I said, where did you get that? She said, well, it was so important to my mother. She said, every hair was in place from the top of her head to the tip of her toes. This is the way she got acclaim and honor and fame, was by always looking good and people getting compliments. She stressed it with me. I've got to always be looking good so that people will think I look good. Another little girl says, well, it's not just from your parents, Miss Lewis. She says, you see that from your peers. Boy, don't we? Adults, children, whatever. If you're looking pretty, you know, in high school, what? If you're Miss So-and-so, you're pretty and you're gorgeous, you're somebody, right? If you're unattractive, you're nobody, right? Well, this little girl was saying, you know, well, Miss Lewis, you know, it's what the people at school here think. If you're not pretty, you're really not one of the in crowd. So I said, well, then you're saying that to be a person of worth, to be of value, is to be attractive. Right? They said, right. I said, well, what about those of us that are not beauty queens? The little girl said, that's too bad, Miss Lewis. I mean, It really broke her heart. When I was growing up, and also, if you notice, too, that if our value is equal to how we're looking, how much value are we? You compare to see, don't you? How's my value going today? Am I looking good or looking bad? Depending on who we're around, don't we? I mean, you, who has the most value? If you're prettier than me, you're more important. If I'm prettier than you, I'm more important, right? They're ugly, gotta go. I mean, you know. When I was growing up, this was not my area, per se. It was funny, I was home one night, and Bill and I were, my young Bill, my son were kind of gene and hauling. You know, he was lying on bed, and I was sitting in the chair. And he says, Mother, I said, what is it, Donald? He says, will you answer a question for me? Sure. How does it feel to be getting old? I mean, how do you cope with wrinkles? With body parts going? I mean, how do you deal with this, Mother? Well, Dawn, I really don't know because I don't have a problem there. Oh, really? That's wonderful, Mother. I said, no, it's just not my brain of sinning. You know what I mean? But I have friends who do. I have some friends who really have problems in that area, and they're really having a tough time. They're losing their looks. They're wanting to get facelifts and everything else kind of lifts. And I said, they're about to have nervous breakdowns at 40 because they really are getting their value from men, from women, from everybody in their appearance. So I said, you know, that's just not my area, Bill. Oh, that's wonderful, Mother. So he gets up and he starts to walk out of the room and he says, oh, by the way, Mr. So-and-so said I had a real pretty smile. I said, you do, girl. You really do have a pretty smile. Just like my mother's. Now, he was halfway down the hall, okay? I did a 100-yard dash from the chair to the door and down the hall to say, what was that, Doc? What was that? Mr. So-and-so said I had a smile, a pretty smile that was just like my mother's. I always liked him. And he goes into the dining room and he says, oh, by the way, Mother, Mr. So-and-so said he's noticed you at the chapels and at the meetings, and he thinks you are really attractive. Excuse me, sir. The dishwasher's going, what was it you said? He says you are really attractive. Now, you see, ladies, I didn't have a problem in the area until I had a chance to have the problem in the area. When I was growing up, I was tall. Real tall. You know, and they would make the pictures in the classroom, and they would put me at the center. And they'd say, okay, boys and girls, line up on each side of the dining, you know? And they would taper down, okay? And, you know, you would go into gym class. Did you, when you took gym, when you go into gym class after you're playing basketball or something, and look at yourself in the mirror? I can remember one day looking at myself in the mirror and thinking, I never want to be seen again. I went to a party that night, and they taped you, and I heard me on tape, poor souls. And I heard me on tape. And I thought, I not only never want to be seen again, I never want to be heard again, I just want to run off and eat a fuzzy worm. I don't know what that means, but that's what my mother always said, okay? So, in this area of appearance, now what happens if our value... Oh, and when you're tall, did you notice the guys were asking you to dance come your waist? And you go around slumped over, you know? You can't wear high heels. I mean, you know, it's terrible. I knew Bill was the one God had for me because he was 6'4". That was the only prerequisite. And first of all, no Jesus. Okay. But then you had to be tall. Okay. But anyway, in this area of appearance, is this where our value is? If it is, what happens, lady? I better go to the sheet. I will try to stick to this sheet. Where was I? First page. Oh, okay. If our worth is equal to, say, our appearance, then what happens? And people's acceptance in our appearance, what happens? Then our worth, have you noticed, is going up and down all day, depending on whether we're accepted or rejected. Mine, in my appearance, can be here one minute and down the next, up and down. Why? Because it's temporary. It's fleeting. It's fluctuating. Have you noticed? I may walk in here today and some girl over here says, oh, Diane, you look so pretty in pink. And I said, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And then somebody else, as I walk out today, may say, you put on a little weight, haven't you, Diane? That's what a lady said not too long ago. And you're getting a few wrinkles. Well, I mean, you know, you can go from big to little in about 30 seconds, right? If our value is in being accepted by people in our appearance. You notice if our value is equal to our appearance, ladies, it's fluctuating up and down all day, every day, depending on what those around us like it or not, right? It's temporary. It's fleeting. And not only that, ladies, there's such pressure to keep it up or to get it better. Have you ever noticed? If it's in our looks, you've got to always be looking just as good or a little better, don't you? You can't let up. What would people think? If our value is indeed in our appearance. Let's see if there's anything else we need to go with. Also in our... This other little girl in the class said, Miss Lewis, she said, it's not your appearance. I said, really? She said, no, it's your performance. She said, it's how you doing. Well, the first little girl said, it's your appearance and how you're looking. This little girl says, it's in your performance, how you doing. Your achievement. She says, you got to be doing good. It doesn't matter how you look. Now, I want you to see, ladies, that what we feel, even though it may be unconscious thinking, ask the Lord to show you, what do I think I need to be or to do or to have to be worthwhile? What qualifications am I living under to be accepted? What if I am do I have to be to get this acceptance? This little girl says, background totally different. She came from a real athletic family. The father was to win, 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 rah, 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 be number one. Hers was just do. And when you do and you win, you're of value. When you lose, you're not. When you perform well, you're of value. When you don't, you're not. She so hers says, it's not your appearance, Miss Lewis. She says, it's your achievement. She said, it's your performance. It's how you're doing. Well, ladies, when we're growing up in this area, this is a biggie, with perfectionistic, performance-oriented, unpleasable parents, because the kids come home, and whatever they do from childhood, we train them not necessarily to do their best, but to do the best. Big difference. We train them to excel, to try for perfection in all that they do. They're brought up to believe that regardless of how well we do a task, we could possibly do better if we tried again. And the child keeps trying to meet whatever qualifications you've got to what? To be accepted. Boy, this is such a biggie. Ask the Lord to show you, ladies, is my value as a person equal to my performance, something I'm doing to be accepted? These kids said, Miss Lewis, you've got to be doing. You've got to be the best. You've got to be number one with your peers. You've got to be talented to be accepted. Ask the Lord to show you. We've all got our areas, ladies. Maybe you're to be a person of value is, from your background, maybe it was just to be a good wife. Maybe it was just to be a good mother. Maybe it was always winning. Maybe it's my husband to be a success. Maybe it's my kids turn out well. Maybe it's to have a husband that loves you. Maybe it's to have an effective ministry. Boy, this is a biggie in the Christian circles, isn't it? For me to be worthwhile is, I got a dynamic spiritual ministry. And if I don't have a big spiritual ministry, then I'm nobody. And this can be perceived, particularly with young women. Ladies, as young women and mothers, when people ask you in any church to do anything, you take it to the Lord and to your husband and pray about it and do it as unto God and not unto man, regardless of what man may think. If God tells me as a mother, Diane, I want you home this year with the kids and being a good wife and just keeping the home fires burning, that's the only place I want to be, ladies. And you'll get anxious about it and pull back and say, now, wait a minute. Was that a compliment or a criticism? Notice in these areas, ladies, of the appearance, the achievements, and the fluence, if there's compliments or criticism, notice how you respond to them. Notice if you're complimented, you feel good, worthwhile, and if you're criticized, you feel what? Little and nobody. Notice this week how you and I respond to compliments and criticism. Chances are it'll give you a clue to the area of your need of qualification. Okay, let's see then. Then the spiritual, that's the natural. That's where we get what you and I think of us today. initially from our parents primarily, but also it can be from peers, preachers, teachers, etc. So you out of date basically think of ourselves, though it may be unconscious, what through the eyes of others, how they've seen us, what they've said to us, how they've treated us. Okay, now what happens when you and I have a supernatural sonship? When you and I are born again, when we come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, when we become the Son and God becomes our Heavenly Father. Let's see what happens here. Let me say this before I even get into that. The Christian experience, ladies, begins with justification, the act by which God declares me acceptable. And this is the answer to our sin nature problem, but it's also the answer to our soul, this unmet need of acceptance problem from childhood. And we need to see that salvation is more than just an answer to the sin nature, but it's also an answer to this need for acceptance in place of rejection. Okay, let's see who we are. You and I come to know Jesus Christ. We're declared accepted in the Beloved. I think I wrote that. I hope I did. He says, Ephesians 1:6, and in others, what? We are accepted in the Beloved. Romans 4, 5, and 8, all three chapters, Romans 9 and 5, all of these say, you've been accepted in the Beloved. God has declared you accepted. You don't have to become anymore. You're already declared to be. Now, ladies, when you and I come to know Jesus Christ, we need to get the impact of this. He says, so far in your life, yet you may have been trying to become somebody of value, which is a need. But when you come to know Jesus Christ, he says, hey, wait a minute. That moment, you're declared accepted in the Beloved. Do you know what that means? You're accepted as you are, not if you are. Ephesians 2, 1, 8-10. It's a gift. It's in Jesus Christ, and God says, hey, as of that moment, I declare you accepted. As you are, not if you are. Your value before may have been from what parents said about you, others said about you. He says, you come to know Jesus Christ, you're a new creation with a whole new identity. It's no longer what men have thought about you, what you think about you, but it's now what God thinks about you. And what is that? Let's see. God says, you become a new creation. He says, you are a new person with a new nature. And I gave you all those scriptures on that. Basically, 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 18, Galatians 6:14 through 16, 1 Peter 1:3 and 23, Ephesians 2:8 through 10, Colossians 2:9 and 10, Galatians 2:20. We become a new creation. Did you know that, ladies? A new creation, a new person with a new nature. He says, okay, you got a new identity going for you now. You've got a whole new position. It's no longer your earthly family, it's your heavenly family. You're now the Son of God. God is now your Father. You're now His child. You've been adopted into His family. You've got a whole new identity going for you today. No longer is it to be in what others have thought of you, but now it's to be in what God thinks of you. Let's see, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. God says, when you come to know Jesus Christ, that old identity you had, that old self-image, from what others and you think of yourself, is to be gone. From now on, you're a new creation. It's a whole new identity you've got. That's what I want you to see. Not who you were, but now who you are. And he says, it's a whole new identity. I want you to see who you are. I want it to be clear to you. You're a new creation. I want your value to be in who you are to me. Not in what you are or who you are to others. You can read those other scriptures on there on a new creation. Also, he says, you've been adopted into my family. You're now my son. I'm now your father. And all these scriptures on Ephesians 1, let's see, where is it? Ephesians 1, 4 and 5, Isaiah 41, 9 and 10, Romans 8, 15 through 23, 1 John 3, 1 and 2, and on and on and on. God says, okay, do you see what you've got going here? You're declared accepted as you are. You're a whole new creation with a whole new nature. He says, I'm now your father. You're now my son. He says, are you getting the picture? You've got a whole new identity here. It's now God's acceptance, no longer man's. 2 Corinthians 5:16 and 17 tells us this, ladies. 1 Corinthians 4:3 and 4 tells us this. Ephesians 2:8 through 10 tells us this. That when you and I come to know Jesus Christ, it's no longer what man thinks about me, but what? But what God thinks about me. What does God say, ladies? He says, you were made by me, for me. Parents are to give you, if they're good parents, a proper image and nature of God, so that when these needs are met to the child, they come to know the Heavenly Father and they say, oh, I can hardly wait to know Him. I know how assuring He is. I know how accepting He is I am. I know all these things. God says, whether they were met or whether they weren't, when you come to know Me, you were made by Me and for Me. Now you're where you intended to be. I'm your source of life in all these areas. I'm your source of acceptance. And I say that you are declared accepted as you are, not if you are. You see, ladies, when we come to know Jesus Christ, we're not accepted any longer in our appearance, in our achievements, or in our affluence, but we're already declared accepted. I was speaking here to church one night. I guess it was a pretty big dinner. And anyway, I went to speak, and I was going, and it was raining, and I just fixed supper, and it was hard to get out, and so I was running to B60. You know how you do, okay? And I looked down as I was going, and I didn't have my belt on. It was a dress that had to have a belt, okay? Then I realized I didn't have any earrings, no jewelry, okay? I can handle that so far. And I'm going, and it's raining, and I don't have my umbrella. I mean, it's the biggest rain I've ever seen in Birmingham since I've been here, okay? How do I get in? I walk through the rain, 2 blocks, okay? Now, I go into this place to speak to their doodad, okay? Drenched, sloshing in. I mean, you can hear me sloshing, okay? The hair's down to the floor. Everything's drenched. No belt, no nothing. Now, would that have bothered you? It triggered me big time. So what do we say here, ladies? How do we appropriate our new identity for our old identity? I had to say, go into the restroom, which is what I usually do, and say, Lord, thank you that I am no longer accepted in my what? My appearance. I'm already declared accepted. I had to say that a few times. I'm not accepted in my appearance. I'm already declared accepted. So then I get out and I start to speak. And I look down and I got the wrong notes. I don't believe it. Immediately it came to my brain. Fortunately for you, Diane, you are not only not accepted in your appearance, darling, but you are also not accepted in your performance. And so I stood there to myself saying, thank you, Lord, that my value as a person, I'm not accepted any longer in my what? My performance, my achievements, how well I do, but what? I'm already declared accepted. And it went on. By God's grace, He took it and used it. He promises to do that. But you see, in our everyday lives, ladies, when you and I come to know Jesus Christ and He says, I declare you accepted as you are, not if you are, we've got to appropriate this to replace our wrong thinking from the past. You see, if my thinking has been to be of value, you have to have appearance, then when I come to know Jesus Christ, what do I say? Thank you, Lord, that I'm not accepted in how I'm looking anymore or my appearance. What? I'm already declared accepted. If growing up your background was you had to perform to qualify to get accepted, what do we say as Christians? Thank you, Lord, that I'm not accepted in my performance anymore. What? I'm already declared accepted. Thank you that I'm not accepted whether I'm the best wife in the world or the best mother in the world or my house is the cleanest in the world or did I win my tennis match? Well, that's a billion. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not accepted in whether I win or lose. I'm already declared accepted. A lot of our value is in what we're doing, isn't it? Notice that this week. Thank you, Lord, that it's not in how much money I've got. So-and-so's got the big house, the big cars, the big this, and the big that. That trigger you? So, Lord, thank you that my value as a person is not in what? My affluence, what I have. I'm already declared accepted. You see, ladies, we have to get a grip on this in everyday life. Ask God, what are your qualifications to become accepted? And then say it in everyday life. Notice if you get triggered, like we said, by your parents, by what? Your performance, about your affluence, how much money you've got. When you get triggered, pull back and say, wait a minute, whoa. My thinking was to be of value. I had to be looking good. But thank you, Lord, I'm not accepting that anymore. I'm already declared accepted. I'm not accepted in my performance anymore. What? I'm already declared. I can fail. That's the good news, isn't it? That we can fail. Thank you, I'm not accepted in my performance anymore. I'm already declared accepted, and so on. Okay, now when we see that, ladies, that God says you're declared accepted as you are, you have a whole new identity. Why? Because you're a whole new creation. You're a whole new person with a whole new nature. You're in a whole new family. And this Father says, I know what your needs are, and I will meet them perfectly. You're now mine. It's what I say about you. And I say you're of value. In fact, you're of so much value, I sent my darn son to tell for you. To me. He says, you have this new source of acceptance. Now it's what I, God, think of you and no longer what man, anybody thinks of you. We also see, ladies, when we come to know Jesus Christ, that we have a new family. That we're members of God's household. Ephesians 2:19-22. Fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. Not only do I need to see who I am, Chuck Swindoll says, have you all read that in his book where he says the little guys were out in the back of the house and they were building a tree house? And they said, we got to get rules for this tree house. So they got them, and they wrote them on a piece of paper, and they tagged it up on the wall. Rule number one, nobody acts big, okay? Rule number two, nobody acts little, all right? Rule number three, everybody acts medium, okay? Now, what do we want to see, ladies? What is medium? Medium is seeing who we are in Jesus Christ. That we're accepted as we are and not in what? Our appearance, our achievements, our affluence. Medium is becoming so free just to be the woman of God he wants me to be because I already know who I am. And it's not in anything I have to do or how I have to look or how much money I've got. It's freedom. And that's what a medium is. A medium is saying, hey, I know who I am. I'm the daughter of the King. Do you know that, ladies? You and I come to know Jesus Christ. He says, you're the daughter of the King now, Diane. Put on the royal robes. How are we walking around today, ladies, as Christians? Heads hung down low. God says, know who you are. The Christian life is becoming who you already are. That's my child. You have value. You're somebody because you're somebody to me. You were made by me and for me. That's where your value comes from. That's where everybody's value comes from. Who they are to God. And God says, you're my child, you're of value. So much so I sent my son to die for you. He says, you're to live in your position in who you are in me. Not in who you were, but to who you are. Ladies, we as Christians need to walk around with our heads high because of who we are in Jesus Christ. He paid a big price for that. He says, you're now my daughter. You're the daughter of the King. He says, you put on the royal robes and hold that head high because of who you are in me. Not acting big or acting little, but medium. How do we get a grip on this? Okay, we say we're a part of a new family. And this is how I see I'm of value. Then what I have to see, ladies. What does the Scripture tell us? Matthew 19:19. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Ladies, you're not going to be loving your neighbor as God wants you to love your neighbor until you're loving yourself with God's love for yourself. Fact. So, in God's family here at Briarwood or wherever you go to church, I'm to see I'm of value. I'm to be medium. I'm to know who I am in Jesus Christ. But then what am I to see? You're of value. You're of worth. You're of somebody special. I'm to love you as I love myself with God's unconditional love. Why is that? God says, hey, I'm no respecter of person. Isn't that interesting? God's no respecter of person. We are, but God's not. Have you noticed? God says, when you come to know Jesus Christ, I want you to see who you are, and you are medium. And then in the body of Christ, I want you to see you're not only medium, you're not only of worth of value, but so is the rest of my body of worth and of value. In fact, he says, all Christians are one in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:11-22, Galatians 3:26-28, Colossians 3:11, 1 Corinthians 10:16-17, Ephesians 4:5. God tells us, ladies, that in the body of Christ, we are what? One. We are one in Jesus Christ. He says, all of you differ, but your worth is the same. Acts 10:24 and James 2:1-9 says, God is not a respecter of person. Diane Lewis, if you're of value, then Lou Audrey, you're of value. You see, ladies, we're all of value. But what do I have to see? I'm a medium, and you're a medium. M&Ms. What God wants us to see is, hey, I want you to love yourself with my love. Why? Because I love you. You are of value. He says, but then when you love yourself, then I want you to love your neighbor as you love yourself. I want you to see you're a medium and they're a medium. You're of worth and they're of worth. And what? You're all different, but what? Your worth is the same. You can look down on your sheet. We won't have time to go into all that. But God says, hey, all of you in the body of Christ. And not only does he say, fellow Christians, God says, I want you to treat all my people out there that they're special and somebody. Why? Because they may be potential new creations in Jesus Christ. Right? Okay, in the body of Christ, how do we get a grip on this? Okay, I'm a medium. I'm no longer accepted in my appearance, my achievements, my affluence. I myself am declared accepted. I'm of value now. I'm of worth as I am. In the body of Christ, then I need to see, as I said, I'm of worth, but you're of worth. How do we make this real experientially in our everyday lives? Okay, in the body of Christ, ladies, we're all different, but our worth's the same. Now, how do we get a grip on this? God says, I created you, I formed you for my glory. I have called each one of you by name, Isaiah 43. And he says, in the body of Christ, and I've given you some scriptures down there, your appearances differ, your abilities differ, your affluence differs, but what? Your worth is the same. Before I left Memphis, I was eating at a restaurant, and a waiter came up, and he got through waiting on us, and he says, oh, I've sure enjoyed waiting on you beautiful ladies. And he said, oh, thank you. And so he got ready to leave, and he turned to the friend on my right, and he says, you look just like Diane Cannon. And I looked at her, and I thought, she really does. She's looking good, okay? Then he looked at the one on my left, and she said, you look just like Candace Bergen. And I thought, she really does. She's looking really good today. And then I thought, what is he going to say about me? I mean, I didn't say that. That's what I thought. Nothing. I mean, just silence. You know? That triggered me a little, since everybody else was a beauty queen, you know? So what did I say to myself there? Number one, I'm not accepted any longer in what? My appearance, I'm what? Already declared accepted. In the body of Christ, what? Appearances differ, but what? Our worth is the same. I was asked to speak at the governor's prayer breakfast in Tennessee a couple of years ago. They had two women, okay? They sent us a form, and they said, fill out your credentials. Okay. One, wife. Two, mother of two. Three, speaks here and there. Okay. I sent it in. He came back, just like that. Diane Lewis. Wife, mother of two, speaks here and there. Other lady. She. President up. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Author of. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And it went on and on and on. Now, I'm sitting at my kitchen table in Memphis, Tennessee. Would that have bothered you? I looked at that and I said, here we go again. You see, ladies, God's going to allow circumstances in your life to reprogram your thinking in this area. And when you're the mind in this need to be loved as you are, not having to become, not having to do, because you already are. But the only way we're going to do it is the way I'm doing it now, and that is with renewed mind. Saying your wrong thinking, put it off, putting on the right thinking 10 to 12 times, habitually, over and over and over. So what did I say? On my kitchen table. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not accepted in my achievements. And it's a good thing. That I'm already declared accepted. I feel so unnecessary. I feel so inadequate. I don't even want to show. But my value's not in any of this. I know I've been led to go there, so I'm going. Now you make more real to me that my value is not in my appearance, but that I already am declared accepted. I already am worth. I'm already somebody special to you. Okay, I get to Nashville, okay? And I see the woman. It was disgusting. She looked like Miss America, okay? From the top of her head to the tip of her toes. She was diamond studded. Now, that was a big area for me because in high school, anybody that was anybody had money. So I grew up, one of my areas, I have areas in all of them, I see, but was for to be of value, you must have a lot of money. Who's got the most money? Who's got the most value? So when I saw the diamonds, what did that trigger? Value. She's of value, and I am not. I mean, there was nothing this woman didn't have. You know what I mean? So I see her, and I say, excuse me, and I go to the restroom. I said, okay, Lord, we got to have a big talk here. There's no way I can pull this off. I said, this woman is looking good, doing good, and she's got it. I feel so little. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not accepted in my appearance. I'm already declared accepted, right? What? Appearances differ? Worse the same. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not accepted in my achievements. Achievements differ? Worse the same. And it's a good thing, Lord, I'm not accepted in my affluence. I'm already declared accepted. Why? Affluence differs for what? Worse the same. Okay, ladies, we need to see this in our everyday lives. Ask the Lord to show you. Am I acting little? That's 1 Corinthians 12:14-20. Am I acting big? 1 Corinthians 12:21-25. Or acting medium? 1 Corinthians 12:25-27. 1 Corinthians 13. And on and on. You see, ladies, if we don't find out who we are in Jesus Christ, if we don't get this self-esteem straight, who we are in Him, we're not going to have the right motivation to live the Christian life. If you notice in the Word of God, God always tells you who you are first and then tells you to do. He never tells you to do till He's first told you who you are. This is the whole principle of Scripture. We come to know Jesus Christ and we start doing and never find out who we are. And our motivation in the Christian life is thus like it's been in everyday life, and that is by what we're doing to get God's acceptance instead of doing because we've already got it. Big difference, isn't it? How much time? Huh? What do you say? Okay. The difference. Oh, let me say this about acting little, acting big, or acting medium. How do we appropriate this when you go someplace? Have you ever noticed when you've gone someplace that when you're sitting there and all of a sudden you can feel superior or inferior? Have you kind of just noticed? Come on, gang. Check this out now. Okay, I was coming out of a store, okay? I was talking to somebody and this woman comes up to me and she says, Diane, I just want to tell you, I don't know you, I recognized you by your voice, she said. And she said, I just wanted to tell you what the tapes, this was in Memphis, meant to me. Well, it's helping my husband, it's helping my kids. She said, I can't tell you enough, Diane, how meaningful this whole thing on self-esteem is to me. Now, you would have thought I would have been standing there saying, thank you, Lord, for being an instrument in this woman's life. Thank you, Lord, for touching her and in through me. That's not what I was thinking, lady. I'm being perfectly honest. Do you know what my thinking was? She's sure not very attractive. She doesn't use good English. And she's really not dressed very nice. I was standing there, ladies. Now, I'm going to give you a test. Between acting big, acting little, and acting medium, this is your final exam. How was I acting? Big. Big time. The Holy Spirit then did jostle my whatever and says, Diane, this is what you call, darling, acting big time, okay? Now, ladies, we can't get our minds renewed in an area until we see it. Do you see? You can claim the renewed mind 5 million times. But it's got to be appropriated in your everyday life, in the circumstances where you are, seeing your thinking, putting it off and putting it on, and until then, there's no renewing back. You've got to be honest. We can't. Okay, I said, God, I am really acting big. This is pitiful. And this is the way our sin nature acts, doesn't it? Pitiful. Now, here's what I want you to see. In reacting like this, ladies, my reaction can be from two sources here. The sin nature and from an unmet need for acceptance. One, a spirit problem, so to speak. The other one, a personality problem, so to speak. Okay? In this area of self-esteem, we have problems, ladies, because sometimes we don't see the difference between pride and what? Self-esteem. Pride, ladies, in this area of the spiritual. God made us body, soul, spirit. This, remember we said before we came to know Jesus Christ, the sin nature what? Controlled the soul, which controlled the body. Okay? The pride is a part of the sin nature. It's a problem in this area of the spirit. It's this sin nature that says, I will, not God's will, be done. It's a sin nature problem in the area of the spirit here. Now, where self-esteem comes in? Self-esteem is in this area of the soul, an unmet need to be accepted unconditionally as we are. One we've got and won't reckon dead. The other we don't have and need to get. But now, where do we have a problem, ladies? The symptoms are the same, but the root problem is different, or it can both be in effect. For instance, here was this thing with this lady. Okay, now, I can be acting big. Am I acting big out of pride? That was one reason. But I also was acting big to cover up inferiority, to cover up real littleness, to make you feel consciously like you're somebody and count when unconsciously you think you're really a nobody. Remember how sometimes we say we act the opposite of the way we really feel to keep the other down? Well, this is what happens with poor self-esteem. When you're growing up as a child, you're not aware of it, but here's unconscious thinking that may be saying, I must do this to be accepted, or I'll never amount to anybody, or I can't, or I this. And that's your unconscious thinking as a child. And then as you grow up, today circumstances happen in your life and you say, now wait a minute, I know I can function, I've done good, I've won honors, I've done this, why do I still feel like I can't? Why, ladies? Because this unconscious thinking as a child, circumstance happened in your life today, this unconscious thinking of a child is, I must do something to get acceptance, or I can't do anything, or I'll never amount to anything, it triggers it in what? You respond today as though you were still having that childhood thinking. You see, that unconscious wrong thinking about what it takes to be of value affects your thinking and behavior today. Have you ever had compliments? I have. And I'd say thank you, but I didn't accept them. Why? Because I didn't see myself that way. Ever noticed? You able to take a compliment sincerely? We have problems in this area, don't we? And we need to see, ladies, unless we get a grip on this area of self-esteem, it's affecting our thinking and behavior today to responses of life, and we're responding to that childhood thinking which says, you're a nobody, you don't count, you've got to do something, you can't do anything, whatever it is, and you're responding to life, your husband's criticism or compliments, the whole world, with that wrong unconscious thinking. It's got to come up, and I have to say, thank you, Lord, that I see that to be a person of worth, I thought I had to be looking good, doing good, I have money. But Lord, that thinking is no longer true. I'm already declared to be. I'm already accepted in the beloved. Do you see how the thinking has to be reprogrammed in the soul area, but also it has to be programmed in what? The sin nature. This is why it's so deceptive, ladies, because you see, with pride and with self-esteem, we both have a want for what? The acceptance of man, don't we? The approval of man. That's why when God says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, God made you spirit, soul, and body. He says you deal first with the spirit, then what? The soul, and then the body. So what did I deal with this day? Lord, forgive me for my pride for acting big. It is pitiful. My sin nature wants credit for everything it does, and so does yours, lady. I mean, that's my sin nature. But I dealt with that. But then I said, okay, Lord, there's a big overreaction here. Not only does your acceptance take care of my sin nature and forgive me, but what? It takes care of the area of the soul, the acceptance for this unmet need of acceptance for childhood. So here I can say, Lord, now, I'm of worth. How do we appropriate this? Here was this woman, okay? And what I pull back, acting big, from sin nature, and in my case, from inferiority to cover up, I pull back and what I say? Now, wait a minute, Lord, I'm acting big. I'm of worth, I'm of value, I'm accepted in the beloved. But Lord, she's of worth. She's of value. She's accepted in the beloved. I'm of worth, and she's of worth. Our appearances differ, our worth's the same, our achievements differ, worth's the same. Our worth really differs, but our worth's the same. It's got to get programmed into our everyday life, ladies, where we are. Do you see what I'm saying? And you deal first with the sin nature. You still have a problem? Look into this soul area, this unmet need for acceptance. And then see, hey, Lord, thank you. You not only take care of the sin nature, but you take care of this unmet need for acceptance, to be loved as I am. I don't have to get it anymore. I've already got it. That's what I say to myself all the time. Thank you, Lord, I don't have to get it. I've already got it. I don't have to do. It's already done. I don't have to become. I already am. Because of who I am in Jesus Christ. But we have to deal with both, ladies, because sin nature and unmet self-esteem both show themselves in the need for what? Approval of man. They both have to be dealt with. One is a spiritual from the sin nature. One's an unmet need from the soul area. Now, here's the difference. If I'm acting big because I really feel big, I mean, there are some of us that have such pride that we're good, we know it, and so does the world. When I'm acting big, and I know I'm big, and I'm flaunting it, and sometimes I may act little to cover up my false pride. Now that's pride, ladies. I'm good. I'm somebody apart from God, and I can run my life apart from Him, and I can handle it, and look what I'm doing, Diane Lewis. How does she do it? Time after time. You're really something, Diane. We have to deal with that pride. Pride is saying, hey, I'm big and I know it. And act little to cover it up. Now, how does self-esteem, poor self-esteem act? Poor self-esteem is acting little. You feel inferior. You do feel like a nobody. And what do? You may act a little, but you act big to cover up inferiority. You see, with pride, you act big and then you act little to cover up pride. With inferiority, you act a little and you cover it up by acting big. Do you see the reverse? That's why we deal with both, ladies. And as Christians, we've been dealing with the sin nature, the pride, but we haven't been aware of this unmet need of the personality to be whole, this unmet need of childhood that God wants to be, so that our personality can be whole. We're dealing with one area and not the other. And that's why as Christians, I'd go through life and I'd say, oh, Lord, I'm dealing with this sin nature, this pride, this wanting to acceptance of man. What is my problem? I've worked on it. I'm reckoning my flesh dead and buried. I'm bound and saved. Why do I still have just a need for this acceptance? It's like God said, that's it, Diane. You just said it, darling. You don't just want it. All man wants it. Diane, you have a need for it. And it was like a light bulb went on. This is an unmet need, an unmet area in the personality that has to be filled for the personality to be whole, to be functioning as God intended it to function. They've both got to be dealt with, ladies. And as I say, the symptoms are the same. The source can be one or both, but we must deal with both to diffuse it. Do you see? And I thought, boy, I was so glad to see that, because then when I needed that acceptance of man, it was though I was doing everything, just trying to get that acceptance. Please just love me, please. I can remember a guy in high school saying to me, Diane, we like you, quit trying so hard. I didn't know what he meant. But God says, hey, you got two areas going here, Diane. That's why it's confusing. You got to be able to discern the problem and deal with them both. God's acceptance is the answer to the forgiveness of sins of the sin nature, and the power over that sin nature has been broken. He also says, my acceptance is the answer to that rejection from the past, that unmet need to be loved as you are. Isn't that exciting, lady? You ever felt like a Christian
Lord, why do I still have this need? It's just no, not a want, but it's just a need for approval, to count, to be of value, to be of worth. It can, ladies, be an unmet need of childhood that God says, I want you to see, and I'll meet it so that your personality can become whole. Why, ladies? Because God says, remember how we started off? The Holy Spirit comes into our lives not to abolish the personality, but what? To restore it. To make it the personality God intended it to be, for Him to live through and shine through in us as unique persons, what? To His honor and glory. Isn't that exciting? God says, hey, Diane, you are medium, you're accepted in the beloved. But so is the other members of the household of faith, so are my other children. They're medium and they're of worth. All of you differ, but you're worth the same. And ladies, you know, this frees us in the body of Christ. What, is my time over? In the body of Christ, when God asks you to do something, ladies, this is so helpful. I don't have to be looking good, doing good, have any money. God says, you're not accepting this. You aren't accepted. Now, what's the difference, ladies? These resources of my appearance, my abilities, my affluence has been used to get acceptance. Okay? God says, now when you see who you are in me, that you're already declared accepted, you don't have to get it anymore, you already are, what happens? These resources of affluence, achievements, and appearance become free what? To be used for whatever God intended them to be used for, ladies, on the face of this earth. God says, each one of you is special. Each one of you I've loved and loved with an everlasting love. He said, your appearance is all different. Psalm 139 tells us, doesn't it? Psalm 119:73. He says, your appearance is all different. Is it bothering you? It doesn't need to, because your value is not in your looks. God says, you covet those gifts of somebody else, those abilities. You don't like the ministry God's given you. You don't like the abilities God's given you. God says, hey, look. You look just like I want you to look. You've got the abilities, natural and supernatural, I've got for you to have. Your status in life, as it shows on Proverbs 22:2, 1 Samuel 2:7, and on, your affluence in life, your position and station in life, is right where I've got you. Your value's not in any of these things anymore. You already are. Now I want you to be free to use your looks, your abilities, and your station in life for why I've got you there. 1 Corinthians 15:9 and 10 and 2 Corinthians 11:5 and Philippians 3, Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Is that your prayer today, ladies? That's my prayer. Lord, I want to press on to take hold of that for which Jesus took hold of me. And Paul says, why? Why do I want to do it? 2 Corinthians 5:14, this is the key, ladies. Christ's love for me, not my love for him, Christ's love for me, who I am in him, compels me. It's his love for me and in me that compels me to do. Is this our motivation in everyday life and everything we do, ladies? Is it to get acceptance, or is it because we already are? Romans 5, 7 through 11 in the Phillips translation is the one that says, hold your heads high in the light of God's love because of the reconciliation which Christ has made. I ask you today, ladies, are you holding your head high? Do you know who you are? Do you know that you're daughter of the King? If we are, we need to put on the royal robes, ladies. And let me ask you, if there's anybody here today who's not a daughter of the King, who doesn't know their true identity and can't until they come to know Jesus Christ, there's only one way to ever have fulfillment and satisfaction in life and to be what God made us to be, and that is in Him, because we were made by Him and for Him. Ladies, I pray if there's one woman here today who's never received Jesus Christ, who has never invited Jesus Christ into his life, who does not know without a shadow of a doubt that you are the daughter of the King, I pray that today you will go home, get on your knees, confess your sin, thank Him for dying on that cross because I'm of such value to God, that He took my sins away from me, that I may be declared accepted in the beloved. If you haven't done that, ladies, do that today so that you can know I'm the daughter of the King. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, how we thank you that your Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. I pray for us in the next 2 weeks, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, because of your love for us, can give us the insight is needed to where we find our value as persons. Lord, show us individually in each of our circumstances what qualifications we feel we must meet in order to be accepted by others or even by you. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit this week will shed abroad in each of our hearts the desire and the power to admit this thinking, put it off, and then put on that your eye thinking, what you think of us, how much you value us, and that is we are already declared accepted and beloved. Oh God, make each one of us free us to become more and more the woman of God you want us to be, and to see each other in the household of faith as the women of God together, one in Jesus Christ, all of us differing, but our worth the same. Oh Lord, make this more and more real each day of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.